I just want to bring up, I saw in the paper, Faribault paper, that the Prairieville Methodist Church closed down east of town after, I think, 148 years the church was around. It's really sad. It's always sad to hear that any church closes down. I know I'm not aware of any specific numbers nationally, but I know we know church attendance is down, churches are closing in record numbers nationwide, not just, you know, in every denomination. It's a real challenge, and first I want to just commend you all that you are part of a group of people that is decreasing, and I would say in some ways worldwide, certainly in America. It's sad when any church, however small, closes down. I just want to say, when we started this church 21 years ago, we were young and foolish and excited and like, look at us, we're something. And soon realized and quickly realized that, man, God is using every church everywhere in some way or another, and we need them all. And the devil hates them all. And God is using them all, no matter what denomination. I mean, God is involved, and there is a need. And I know in this town there is no church, there's no one church that can seat 23,400 people. So there's no trying to get everyone in town into the church, into one, you know, the cool happening church. It's important that we use them all, and God is using them all, and we encourage them all, and when one falls, we all feel it, you know, we all feel it. So I just want to commend you that you are part of a group that is unique warriors, and I think it has to be by revelation that you know you are children of the King of Kings. Regardless of what church you're part of, whether it's in Minnesota or if you move to Idaho or wherever, there's a kingdom of God that will last forever, that is forever. Churches come and go, connections to churches come and go, but the kingdom of God is forever. So don't give up on your connection and your investment in that kingdom of God. There's a scripture that says, Psalm 90:12 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." We need wisdom because we need to understand that time is short. We don't have forever. We're all very temporal here. When we go on vacation, it's always that last day. What's the most special day besides the first 5 minutes? The special day is that last day, because you want to make the most of that last day. This is our last day of vacation. We don't want to waste it, right? And this life is no vacation in some ways, but the point is we want to make the most of our time in the short time that we have here, right? Amen? And also, there's a scripture that says Jesus warned us there will be a time. And the time is, I believe, upon us. It says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. I think that's partially why attendance and connection to churches is dropping so fast. But and it goes on to say, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And then it says, and this gospel, this good news of the kingdom, this good news of the kingdom, not of a church here or a church or this cool church or that church. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So the kingdom of God continues long after this world will be over as we know it. And so you're investing in something, you're part of something eternal. Your connection to the body of Christ and to the kingdom of God is an eternal thing. It's not a temporary thing, but it's important, and God uses churches. God uses the local church, the body of Christ, connected corporately, joining together, not just individually doing independent things. The body of Christ, many members, one body. And so make the most of it. You're part of a big thing, and don't abandon your connection to it. So I want to continue. I'm going to continue from last week by encouraging you with a fresh start for the new year. So I want to pray. Father, we just pray that you would open our eyes. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your Spirit being here with us. Lord, and I just pray that you would instruct us from your word and by your Spirit, Lord, to start this year outright and in a fresh way. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace for us all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first step to a fresh start I want to look at is to declare it. Declare it. God said, let there be light. He said it, and it was so. He said this. He declared it. God is into declaring. Remember, I like sports. I like watching the Olympics, recent Olympics. Remember, always at the beginning of a start, ready. There's this strange ready, and then silence for a few seconds, and then bang, the gun would go off, a big bang. And there's something about declaring it, saying, on your marks, get set. And there's an anticipation that when that gun goes, then you go, and you're all focused. When you declare it, you're focusing on what you're about to do, determining what you're going to do. And so make a clear declaration that you're going to start fresh with God. We're going to encourage you to read the Bible all the time. I'm going to be encouraging you to read the Bible and to have a plan for it, and we'll get into that. But this week we're going to be emphasizing a time of prayer and consecration. And I want to look at that word consecrate. Means to meet to make or declare sacred. To consecrate, to make or declare sacred, set apart or dedicate to the service and worship of a deity. And of course, for us, we know that's the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. So declare it to yourself, to others, to heaven and earth. Make a declaration to start this new year in a way that is fresh, that is purposeful, that's intentional. And it doesn't matter, you know, how far off you got in the past. Doesn't matter. And that's where the scripture, forgetting what lies behind, we press forward in a new way. We forgive. We let go, whatever it is. And we declare to yourself that you're going to devote yourself to starting fresh with God in 2019 with prayer, with fasting, with service and worship to Him. Because you're investing in something that's eternal. You're not just going some part-time, temporary fad that's here and gone. Jesus is coming back, and He's coming back for people that are following Him. He's not coming back for everyone. He's coming back for those who know and love Him. Read the Scripture. It'll curl the hair on the back of your neck, some of the things. Some of the things that's hard for me to preach here on Sunday morning, because it's like, wow, that's intense. That's harsh. That's challenging. And I want it to be this time on Sunday morning. You're here. You know, you're already here. So I want to encourage and build you up. But there's some scripture that's like, wow, God's not playing games. And the devil is not playing games. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And God is not just about making us feel warm and fuzzy. He wants us to be godly and walking in the light as He is in the light. And He's coming back not just to gather His own, but it says He's going to execute judgment on those who don't know Him and those who don't obey Him. Why does He make a distinguishing difference between those who know Him and those who disobey Him? Because apparently you can know Him and disobey Him. And God will judge those. That's what it says in Thessalonians. When He comes back, not as a little baby, but as a conquering king, reigning with His holy ones, with His angels, with His army, He's going to execute judgment. And we want to be, he has done so much for us. He has paid such a high price. He knows what we're made of. He knows we're sinful and wicked and self-centered and we're liars. And if anyone disagrees, well, then proves my point. You're lying. Because we're just made that way. It's just that we have the nature of Adam. You know, it's in us. But God came to restore us, redeem us, and change that. And he works with us. And he wants to deliver us. And so, declare it. It's step one is make the decision, make the declaration. When you say it, there's power in our words. You can think it all day long. You can have good intentions. But when you say, I am going to have a Bible reading plan this year for 2019, declare it. Then there's the next step. Fast. Number two, fast. And why do I say it? So much of our bad habits and bad patterns of thinking and of living are based on our natural, fleshly, self-centered, I want to feel good. I don't want to do things that don't make me feel good. If it feels bad, I won't do it. If it feels good, I'll do it. All that fasting is like a time out on our physical, fleshly desires. It's like when you go without food, and that's why I want fasting to hurt a little bit, use wisdom in it, but it should hurt. Go without food to where it bugs you. Don't go without your, you know, frou-frou coffee lattes. I'm gonna go without something simple that you'll barely even notice. Go without something that you will feel so that it gets your attention, and that's what God wants. He wants to get your attention, and he wants your body to submit to your spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit. We're made of three parts: temporary, eternal, and eternal. But temporary in the spirit, there's three, our bodies are temporary and they are decreasing to where they will die. Our spirits are either dead or alive. You're either dead in your sins without Christ, or you're alive in Christ because you have put your faith in Jesus. So you're once was dead, now you're alive. Once your heart was hard like a rock, dead, now your heart is soft and alive. And so that's your body, temporary and decreasing. Your spirit is on or off. And your soul is ever increasing. The psalmist says, you know, restore my soul. He's the Lord who restores my soul. We are always being sanctified. Our souls, even though they're eternal, are always in process as we're walking with the Lord. If you're walking with the Lord, your soul is ever increasing, closer, more Christ-like. So we're made of three parts, and typically the part that wants to be in charge is our bodies. Well, I'm not going to do that, I'm tired. I'm not going to do that, I'm cold. I'm not going to do that, it's too hot in here. I'm not going to do that because I don't feel like doing it. Well, that's your body talking. That's your body being in charge, and God wants your spirit in charge. Your spirit is the closest connection to God. Your body is the furthest connection to God. Body is like the weather. It changes, it's finicky, it's like a little two-year-old. But your spirit is the mature part that is close to God, that God speaks to us. Your stomach speaks to your body. The Spirit of God speaks to your spirit. And we want to put the Spirit in charge. So fasting is saying, time out, body. Time out, fleshly nature and desire. Jesus and the Apostle Paul both started their ministries, their time publicly, with fasting. Jesus was 40 days and Paul was 3 days. But they started. There's an aspect of fasting that is a good beginning. That's why we do it every January. And we don't do it to be seen by people. It's not to be telling others at work, hey, no, I'm not going to eat that. I'm fasting. And because look how spiritual I am. Look how awesome I am. And look how much of a loser you are because you're not like me because I'm fasting. We don't do it to be seen by men. We don't do it to, you know, look spiritual or cool or anything. We do it in secret. You do it, and even if you're feeling really bad while fasting, the scripture says, wash your face. Put a smile on your face. Don't let anyone know. Just keep it a secret between you and God. that you're going without because you want to hear from God in a greater capacity, at a deeper level. And you're not looking for the praise of men, of others. You're looking to be connected to God. So it's not a weight loss program, although there is a benefit for that, that will come. That's just part of anything that God does. There's usually multiple layers of benefits to it. The main benefit is to get closer to God. But there's a whole lot of detoxifying that happens too when we fast. So there's also the opposite world aspects of the kingdom of God. If you want to be great, serve others. If you want to be financially secure, give money away. Like I mentioned, tithing. Honor the Lord with a little bit. If you want to accomplish a lot in life and ministry to others, don't just work hard, pray. Actually, go alone, get alone, and pray. You will accomplish more by being alone with God in prayer than all the effort and work and hard things you can do. And then you want to get spiritually strong? Allow yourself to become physically weaker through fasting. It's a crazy opposite world kind of a thing. You want to get spiritually strong, get weak. And God will make you strong. God will work in areas that you're normally not being worked on because you're too busy feeding your belly and making your body feel good and not uncomfortable. And so even the word fast is an opposite kind of world term. When I'm fasting, it's like everything slows down. It's like time itself slows down. It's like, come on, I just want to get this day over with and go to bed. But it seems like 24 hours takes 48 hours to get there. And when you're fasting, everything slows way down. And you get cold, and it's like, yeah, it's a crazy thing. I don't know where that word fast came from, but it's a crazy, crazy word. So, opposite world, we want to grow stronger with God. Fasting, there's a whole lot more in that article, in the insert that you can look at. But number three, plan it. Declare it, fast, and plan it. Make a plan. We talked about this, but this is so important. You can declare it with great conviction. You can fast, but you need to make a plan. God is a planner. There's all kinds of evidence of that God is a planner. For I know the plans I have for you. He planned in advance good works for us to do. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared in advance, took some planning. There's a list of things that God has in mind for you to walk in that he prepared before you were born. Okay, he had it in mind for your life, where you live, what county you live, who your parents are, who your children are, who your neighbors are. God had plans for your life to do good things. And he made a predetermined list of those things. We want to walk in. He's a planner. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Now, that sounds really good. We know later in Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So not everything you plan will follow through, right? Anyone know that? You make plans, it's like, wow, that did not go as I planned at all. But when you commit your way to the Lord, he says your plans will succeed as it's committed to the Lord. So if it succeed based on whose priorities, whose purposes, well, if it's devoted to the Lord, committed to the Lord, like, God, if you will, this is my plan. I pray that you would lead me in this way and help me do this. And if it goes a different way, well, that is success because God made it go a different way because his wisdom is much greater than our wisdom, and he's got things in mind that we can't possibly anticipate or see coming in any way. And so he's going to move things in a certain way, and it says many of our plans, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. So you can trust him. that he didn't want it to succeed the way you thought it should succeed. But he's gonna work in it. And so you make your plans. Doesn't mean, well, it never goes the way I plan it, so I'm not going to plan. It's like, no, that's not how God works. You still need to make a plan, and God will direct you in that. God, there's so much better to have a direction, have a plan in mind, and then head that direction, and then allow the Lord to steer the vehicle and change your plans, maybe. Because often, and I can say 100% of the time, God's plans, God's results are so much better than our results. So much better. So it's okay. It's not a time to say, I'm not even going to bother planning because it never works out. No, plan, and God will, and commit it to the Lord. Commit it to the Lord, and it will work out according to his purposes. Now, I want you to write down this week what you're going to do. What are you going to do this week? How many nights are you going to go this week, Friday through Monday, or Monday through Friday? Is that backwards? Reading the Bible backwards, that's kind of an interesting thing. I don't know if I wouldn't encourage that. And I think she means book backwards, sequence, not like word sentences backwards, right? Just to clarify. Read is like, them to say therefore, answer not will they. Okay, yeah, that doesn't work. That's not going to sink in deep. But so Monday through Friday, think about what you're going to do, write it down, make a plan. You got a bulletin in front of you, hopefully, or you can get one, make a note, write down, okay, think of your schedule, I am going to go this many nights because of how your schedule will work. But how much will I plan to read the Bible? Make a plan. I'm going to read the scripture. And I love the one-year Bible. It's my favorite. I'm in a place where I read the Bible a lot, of course, because I'm preparing for Sunday mornings. But then a lot of that is regurgitated to give to someone else. Whereas I read the one-year Bible for me. It's really just for me. It's a full Bible that's arranged by the day of the year. You can open it up and find July 12th. And it'll give you part of the Old Testament, part of the New Testament, part of a psalm, and part of a proverb. And that's, like my wife said, how I started and how I was encouraged to start. As I read 3 chapters of the Old and 3 chapters of the New Testament, and then 1 psalm and 1 proverb every day. And if I missed a day, I would just keep going. It wasn't by the day of the week or the day of the year. I just had a journal, and I'd write down what I read. And I just encourage you, it's like, oh, I'm not going to understand everything I read. So it doesn't matter if you understand it all. The Holy Spirit will give you understanding, and the Lord will open your eyes. And the more you read it, the more familiar you are with it, the more you see things, and things start coming alive. And the Word of God just started just changing my everything, changing how I saw life, changing how I talked to people, changing how I made plans. And so I just encourage you, if you're serious at all about Christ, you have to be reading the Word of Christ. You've got to be reading this thing. And there's audio books, there's, you know, different ways to do it, but it's on your phone, and there's tablets, there's way to read it like that. Any way that works for you, but read the Word, hide it in your heart, get it in your spirit. Don't just rely on someone else to tell you what it says. So make a plan. You're here, obviously you're serious about your relationship with God, or you wouldn't be here on a Sunday morning, you'd be watching some 5 hours of pregame NFL something or other. But you're here. It tells me that you're serious about God. And I want to tell you from the depths of my heart, make a plan to read the Bible daily. And that will not only change you, it'll change your children and your children's children. There will be a heritage there. There will be a legacy there that will transfer to them that is rich and deep and powerful. And the enemy who wants to kill you, destroy you, and destroy any part of your life will have a lot tougher job at it if you have the Word of God hidden in your heart and you come back at him. Because what did Jesus come at the devil when he was tempted in the wilderness? What did Jesus say, the first three words of every time? It is written. It is written. And he's going on the Old Testament. We have the New Testament. We have double the ammo that Jesus had. Half again as much. Jesus, the Son of God, came against the accuser, the liar, the deceiver, the devil, with the written word of God. That's it. That's all he needed. And the devil left him and fled. So make plans. It's not going to happen. It's not enough just to be here on Sunday mornings. So what are you going to do this year? What area? Make plans in a lot. I mean, we're talking specifically spiritually. But other plans in your marriage. What are you going to do to strengthen your marriage? What are you going to do this year to strengthen your family, your relationship with your kids, or your, you know, friends, your health, your wealth, your relationships at every level, your church? How are you going to serve? How are you going to worship God? How are you going to specifically make time? What's your plan? Is it just random, or are you on a specific plan? Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Ask for help. If you don't know exactly what to make of this idea, there's plenty of people in this room that would be glad to help you formulate a plan for growing spiritually. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. These evenings, it's 1 hour. I'm just saying, emphasize 1 hour. We will start at 7, we will end at 8, I promise you. 1 hour, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. this week, we're going to go over different areas. We're going to focus on different areas of how, and we're going to pray through some different areas and help make plans for that. So I just encourage you to come to as many as you can, Monday through Friday, 1 hour, 7 to 8 p.m. There'll be people here. So we declare it, we fast, we make plans, and the last step is to live it. Number four is just live it. Follow through on it. You got to do it. Don't just talk about it. Do it. And that's why it's so important what kind of plans you make. You want to make plans that are doable. Don't get crazy excited and make these, you know, superhuman plans. Do something that you can follow through on. James 4, 7 and 8 says, submit yourselves then to God. And then this is key, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Like he fled Jesus, and it says he left him for an opportune time. He won't permanently leave you, but you resist him, he will flee, and then come near to God, and he will come near to you. I like how the King James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. But God is a waiting for you to initiate. He's a responder to our initiation. If you are drawing near to God, he will draw near to you. He will show up. It's like, oh, I don't see God like you see God. I don't hear from God like you hear from God. Well, have you pressed into him? Have you pressed into him? Have you asked him to speak to you? Because he won't force himself on anyone. He won't impose himself on anyone who doesn't want him to impose on them. But if you knock on his door, he will open it. Yeah. If you say, God, help me here, talk to me there, show me this, he will. He'll show you in some way or another. And then it says, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God can be kind of judgmental. He's kind of being judgmental, right? Calling names, calling us sinners. This is the brother of Jesus, James, writing to the church. He's not writing to, you know, the people outside the church. He's writing to people in who confess Christ, who are trying to live for him. And he's saying, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. It's just good to, there again, it's just good to be real and be honest and say, you know what, we are self-centered. Fill in the blank, you know. We are all about us. And when you admit it, it just is real. It's like, okay, let's get real here. We are selfish slugs that just want what feels good. And that's not going to help us grow spiritually at all. We can feed that all day long, and that will never get us closer to God. But James says, come near to God, and he will come near to you and repent from sin. Okay, you can't be doing both. You can't have your sin and have closeness with the Almighty. It's one or the other. And he knows we're sinful. He's not like, oh, oops, oh my goodness. He's not surprised by our sinful nature. He's aware of it, and he works with us, and he still wants us to come to him. But he wants us to repent. Resist the devil. Don't play cards with the devil. Don't go to lunch with the devil and then say, all right, I'll talk to you later. I'm going to go with God now. No, resist the devil. Repent from evil, what you know to be sin, and come near to God. It's just good to know that that's what we're made of and God knows it. Turn from evil. And God's promise is to come near to us in response to us coming near to him. So, I want to close with this verse, Jeremiah 29:11, which is very familiar. It says, for I know the plans I have for you. Again, God's plans, declares the Lord. He declares it. God is a declarer. He's a planner. He's a declarer. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God is not against us. I'm not encouraging you to do these things to get with the program, you know, and anything like that. It's all for good. It's for your good. It's for your blessing. Not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God has plans for us that are good in this life and in the life to come. He made plans for us to be with him forever. And he followed through on his plans that led him to the cross. His plans of getting you and I to be able to even have the option, the choice to be with him forever, included an incredible amount of pain and suffering and sacrifice on his end. But he followed through. He declared it, he planned it, and he fasted, and he lived it. And now, because of that, we have that everlasting life. And this is the last time. I mean, I don't want to get too negative, but in 30 to 40 years, everyone in this room will not be breathing anymore. We're all very temporary. We're here for a short time. Life is a vapor. Yeah, okay, most of the people in this room, not everyone, most of the people in this room, 40 to 50 years, 60 years, 70 to 80 years. In 100,000 years from now, there will be none of us in this room. Okay? We're all very short term. Life is a vapor. Man's life is like a vapor. It's like a Minnesota exhale in the winter. It's just like you see it, it's gone. Let's make the most. Let's make the most of that little time. Because we're going to be in glory, in bliss forever. We're going to be in perfection forever. But right now, God is doing something. And it includes all the churches. He's building a kingdom of God. He's building a worldwide people group made of all the nations. People from all the nations that love him, that honor him. People of every culture, every race, every creed, every generation. And he is building a thing on the earth that is the kingdom of God. And we're part of that. And so we don't want to just get by and have a nice time and then die and go be with Jesus. We want to invest in what he is doing on the earth. With all we got, with all of our heart, we want to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our souls, with all of our strength. And you can put that verse on. I want you to memorize this verse, Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Okay, this is a lot of verses. I'd love to, by the end of the year, walk up to any one of you and say, what is Matthew 22, 37 through 40? And have you, for 2019, memorize that. Because to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, this is the first and greatest commandment. And then for you to have that, to love your neighbor as yourself. And all the scripture, all the laws, all the requirements of the commandments hang on those two. Those two, love God, love your neighbor. If you lived a life like that, that's going to change your world. It's going to change your perspective. So let's stand up and close in prayer. God started something big, and it's continuing. And He calls us to be not just a participator of it, but a promoter in it. The very words of God were entrusted to the Jews, and that was to get the word of God to the Gentiles worldwide. So they were not only to know it, but they were to promote it, and they did. And you and I are beneficiaries of that. And our job is the same, to know it, to know God, and to promote life with God. And so I want to give you practical tools this week of how to do that. So Father, we just thank you for your grace, your mercy towards us, God, for your calling us by name, Lord, to be part of what you're doing on the earth. And Lord, I just thank you for every individual in this room and what you've done in their lives, the plans that you have for them, God, that you would bring them to fruition. Lord, that none of them would fall short, none of the plans would fall short or go undone, but that we would bring to fulfillment all the amazing things that you have for us, Lord. Show us, Lord, help us, God, to be devoted to you and your word and to the body of Christ, to the purposes of yours that are amazing and wonderful. So, Lord, bless this week. Bless this new year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Give someone a high five. Hug on the way out. Amen.